Hello, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Justine.
And this is the Cozy Co-op, a podcast where a video game journalist and a creative writer talk about video games. Hello, Justine.
Hello, Brandon.
How are you?
I am feeling pretty good right now.
That's good. That is good. Today we're going to be talking about Heroes of Hammerwatch.
Good game.
Specifically Heroes of Hammerwatch.
Yeah, not the original Hammerwatch.
Not Hammerwatch. This is like, you know, Chucky, and then there's like Son of Chucky.
This is not like that at all.
Well, it's a sequel, but it doesn't say two anywhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, before that, we got some news. You ready for this?
Yes. Always ready.
Some of these, one of this I've told you about already. We're going to start with that. It's Bethesda is suing the developers of the Westworld app.
Right.
So here's what happened.
This is fun. This is really fun.
I love this. So a while back, Bethesda came out with Fallout Shelter, one of those base management games. And they had commissioned an outside studio to develop it. And then once it had reached a certain point, Bethesda took over and like, okay, thanks, good job, here's your money, go away. Well, that same studio was then recently hired to release a Westworld, you know, the TV show, HBO, I think.
Right. I don't think anyone else has that one.
Yeah, that's why I haven't watched it. I don't want to have to get HBO now.
Let's not talk about the politics of paying for your TV.
That's fair.
Here.
All right, so they,
I know you have opinions.
They were hired to make a Westworld app that was basically the same thing, a underground-based management game, like rooms, upgrade systems, everything. Well, Bethesda is suing the developers of this because it's too similar to Fallout Shelter.
They just reused the Fallout Shelter.
That's the thing is, it's not, oh, you're trying to copy my game style, because you can't copyright a concept in video games. You can't copyright a genre.
Right.
The whole Battle Royale thing has been a big market of that. They're suing them because Westworld allegedly reuses code present in Fallout Shelter. So the developers just copy-pasted old code that they had already made. This is a problem because when they signed to make Fallout Shelter, they agreed all code, assets, all that jazz belongs to Bethesda.
I would also imagine that the people, like the Westworld people who hired them to do this game would be a little upset because they're paying for people to fully make a game for
them.
And what's actually happening
and
is
then they're getting short-stacked here. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why they're suing specifically the developers, not Westworld or HBO or
anything. Right, because they didn't ask for that.
Now, what I love is how they determine that they're copying code, because they don't have access to source code. They were able to replicate a bug involving the camera view in the Westworld game the same exact way that they used to be able to replicate that bug in Fallout Shelter.
So
By replicating this bug, they're like, okay, we know that the code is the same. We know about this problem because we fixed it already. But the fact that you guys have it in Westworld means you copied the code.
It's a bug, not a feature. It's a bug, not a feature.
The fact that they could identify code by replicating a bug is the absolute most Bethesda thing I have ever heard.
Quintessential Bethesda.
I don't know where that's it in the legal process, but that's the thing that's happening. Second bit of news, which I've been intentionally not telling you because I wanted to tell you in this podcast.
Okay.
So for the last few days, I have been more or less playing on repeat Country Roads, Take Me Home by John Denver.
You played it so loud earlier
today. Oh, I love it. It's such a catchy tune. And
you blasted it like it was some hot piece of EDM.
It is lit, fam. Oh, God. Okay.
It's the slap.
Can I tell you a thing somebody said to me at work the other day?
Please say it on the air so we can record it for posterity.
It might be the whitest thing I have ever heard someone say to me.
It's the best thing I've ever heard you repeat from someone else.
What is not lit about Yankee Doodle Dandy?
What is not lit about Yankee Doodle Dandy?
Ooh.
The song is the slap.
Goodness me. Wow.
Yeah.
Like, cauliflower is not this white.
Baby.
Ugh. Anyway. Yeah, the song Country Roads Take Me Home, originally by John Denver. There's a cover of it present in the E3 video for Fallout 76.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because it's take place in West Virginia, which is the song is about. Well, Bethesda has announced that they will be releasing on iTunes their cover song of Take Me Home. And all of the proceeds made from this song will be going to Habitat for Humanity. It'll also be releasing on iTunes on the 4th of July.
Nice.
This is a very, like, rural American action that they have taken.
Yeah, but, like...
And it's for, like, charity. That's even better.
Listen, there's a lot of stuff going on right now as far as the American political landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, as far as the people who want to be full-blooded American... This is as full-blooded American as it gets, in the good way.
Covering a country song, releasing it on the 4th of July, and then
donating... West Virginia.
About West Virginia.
And donating to Habitat for Humanity.
Mountain Mama.
This is the best of red-blooded America.
It is wonderful. I already love this tune. Like, apparently it's a popular song already, I guess... West Virginia sports teams will, like, play it a lot.
It's the only song about West Virginia that we got.
This is the best thing West Virginia had going for it. Yeah. It's a really good song, and a lot of people, myself included, are only now discovering how good this song is. And, like, they covered it, and the cover sounds really good, too. And I'm going to be getting this song, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll get it, just for the donations.
Final bit of news. The Binding of Isaac... will have a card game.
Okay.
The Binding of Isaac, made by Edmund? McMillan?
Milan?
This guy, he made The Binding of Isaac, which is a very popular roguelike dungeon crawler. That is based on the idea of your mother is a religious zealot who locked you in your basement. And, like, you have to... People go real deep in, like, the hidden lore of this game. But on its surface, it's just like, hey, what if you were to go through Zelda dungeons that were randomly generated and get cool, creepy powers?
Okay.
Very popular game. It's on all sorts of devices. It has a card game, which had a Kickstarter start on Wednesday. Since Wednesday... Wait. What day is today?
Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday.
So it's been a week, I guess, apparently. It has... I had a goal of $50,000.
Yeah.
It currently hit $335,000.
Yeah.
People are super into this.
That's kind of... So, this is kind of off topic, but Critical Role just had a Kickstarter for...
Yes.
The
figurines.
The minis. And their goal was, like, $25,000 or something like that. And, like, within 2 hours, I think, they more than tripled it.
When you have something that you know people already want for an established fan base, you're going to hit those numbers, no doubt.
I wanted to get them, but I didn't have the money.
Oh.
So I don't get them.
So it's a card game. My understanding is it's a physical card game, not like a digital card game like Hearthstone. But it's... I might be wrong. They never actually clarified in the release.
So is it going to be a card game like Hearthstone, like a battle card game?
Or no.
Or is it a... What is it?
It is a up to 4-player cooperative experience.
Interesting.
Where you have characters, you go, you fight monsters, you collect loot, and your overall goal is to defeat the boss.
How do you do that with cards?
The cards are either, you know, items or enemies or bosses. I don't know exactly how it works, but there's dice involved.
That's wild.
To be real honest with you, I'm not a big fan of McMillan's work. Like any of them. I don't like Super Meat Boy. I'm not that big into Binding of Isaac.
Didn't have to go into that.
No, don't get me wrong. I respect him as a designer. I acknowledge the massive success that he's had with multiple games. It's just not my bag.
Okay.
Something about it just doesn't quite click with me.
Are you telling me this because it's the reason why you don't know how this card game works?
I'm telling you this because it's the reason why I only really have half of the knowledge I should about this news report. Yes. I put the bare minimal mental effort to report this one.
Okay.
Anyway, that's it for news.
Woohoo!
Heroes of Hammerwatch.
Guys, I like this game.
It's a good game.
I realize, I'm fully aware, that a lot of these episodes, I complain about things being very hard. or me not being able to do stuff because I'm not good at video games and stuff like that, even though I do enjoy playing several kinds of video games. But I will say, Heroes of Hammerwatch is a battle-type dungeon crawl game that is not story-driven. It's not necessarily RPG. It's just a thing that you do with your buds and you shoot stuff. And I'm good at it, and I have a lot of fun with it, and this proves that sometimes games are designed for noobs like me and for pros like Brandon.
Pro. I'm honored that you consider me a pro.
I think you're, like, first-tier pro.
Okay, yeah, I'll take that. Absolutely.
Because I know you.
Bottom line here. I'm not bad at video games.
It's what makes us compatible, like, as far as
I never,
gaming.
I don't consider myself, like, good at them in the sense of, like, oh, yeah, I could beat you. But I consider myself good enough to, like...
You have experience.
I'm good at video games. I'm just not amazing.
Yeah.
And that's a good point. This game is very easy to get into regardless of your skill level.
I think it's because there's not a lot to it, and it's very... The upgrading things takes a very good, what's the word I want to use? Like, it progresses at a good pace.
Yeah, it has a good progression. It is a, because
it's all up to, it's entirely up to you how this works out.
So Heroes of Hammerwatch is a top-down fantasy roguelike. Have you heard that term, roguelike? It's used sometimes.
Only today.
That's fair. A roguelike, I can't recall why it's called this, but a roguelike is a game where it is usually a procedurally generated world, everything's random, and the concept is play until you die, get a little better, do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Roguelikes are very intentionally designed to have heavy replayability. They don't want you to have one life and, like, become the best and progress through, like, a linear thing. They want you to do the same thing again and again, but you become stronger every time.
And this
is an amazing example of a good roguelike.
I think that's why I like it, because I love games like Monkey Island and the one that I was playing today, Ori and the Blind Forest.
Ah, that is a good game.
I like them, but... I always have that sinking feeling every time the game starts getting harder and the story starts getting darker. Like, the story starts turning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, I just got comfortable.
I'm here for a good time.
Hammerwatch, I'm comfy the whole way.
Oh, yeah. Because this game is, like, 95% just enjoy some gameplay.
Yeah.
It doesn't want to try to pull you in with a cool story.
I would say it doesn't have a hefty story, but I think I would rather say it's got the lightest story ever. It's just like a dusting of story.
Do you want to know what the story is?
Yes, I was going to ask you, what is it, please, because I told you to Google it.
I didn't actually Google it. I'm just going off memory, because I think that's the proper way.
All I know is there was previously a tyrant in the town that you inhabit, and then he somehow got cleared out. You didn't do it.
Oh, no.
He's just gone. And you show up and you start improving. I don't know why you're in charge now, but you just show up and start improving things.
I think that's the thing, is they're not trying to justify their gameplay. A lot of games, they need reasons to have things be the way they are. Like, oh, we need to have a reason. That's something Monster Hunter does, is we need a reason for you to go fight this creature. Mm-hmm. We'll give you a reason. Here's some cutscenes. This game is like, no, pick a class. You're that? Okay. That's where you upgrade. That's where you get potions. There's the bad guys. Go get them.
Legit, the only reason you have for going into these mines and these dungeons and stuff every time is simply to upgrade yourself so you can get even further in the dungeons.
Oh, yeah.
It's very circuitous.
Yeah, the story is... The mountain is whack. There's a mountain. It's full of dungeon inside.
It's just
whack.
A buzz with enemies.
So your job is to go in and then unwhackify it.
Sure.
That's it. The only way to find this out is by talking to people. You have to go out of your way to talk to people. You start the game, you're just kind of there.
No NPCs come up and bother you. You have to go bother NPCs.
You bother them. Absolutely.
You don't even have to. You could not bother any NPC except for the ones that sell and do stuff. And you could just get through this game just fine.
This game absolutely prioritizes enjoyable gameplay.
It also is super, I'm forgetting my words. It's like, it's just very attuned to multiplayer.
Oh, yeah, it's very co-op friendly.
Yes.
And I think...
Because you can do it by yourself. I've gotten really far by myself, but it's more fun to do it with other people, and it's a little faster.
And it's more fun that way, yeah. Because, you know, the game, like a roguelike, it just gets difficult the farther deeper you go.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to change itself any. I think the bosses have more health. I think that's the only difference.
Oh, yeah, they have lots of health.
I think it's, like, multiplied by how many players you have. But outside mm-hmm. of that, that's the only difference it makes when you play with friends. They want you to play with friends, because that's where the most fun is had.
Yes. And it's fun because I thought... I'm always one who thinks it's the easiest to co-op with people if you're on, like, voice chat.
Mm-hmm.
But I realize, like, the chat in-game is not super hard to navigate when you're with other people either. So, like, we've done entire dungeon crawls where we've gotten to, like, the third set of levels.
Oh, yeah. Because there are times where I just don't want to set up my microphone or something. So I'll resign to voice chat. And, yeah.
Which is, like, probably true for a lot of games, but I just don't do it with any other game that
I resigned to text chat. I just said I resigned to voice chat.
That's text chat.
I resigned to chat. Because, like, when you have a mutual understanding of the game, you don't need to communicate a lot. If it's an early level and you're both strong, if somebody goes left, you go right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, clear out the building faster. But when it gets harder, you stick together.
Yeah.
If you see somebody's health is low and you're like the healing type, go ahead and just do the healing thing. The other person will be like, oh, you're healing. I'll stop moving to let you heal me.
So,
And it has built-in text chat for when you do need to communicate ideas.
Like, there's an item up top and someone didn't know.
Yeah, item over. So, yeah. It doesn't exactly revolutionize communication in any way.
No.
It doesn't even have a built-in voice chat. You have to use, like, Steam or Discord or, God forbid, Skype. Skype is garbage.
It has a built-in voice chat.
No, it doesn't. Hammerwatch?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Are you sure?
We've used Steam's voice chat.
Is that what that is in the corner?
In the voice chat.
Voice chat.
Voice chat. Why are we mixing this up so bad?
Because I'm drinking.
That's fair.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sometimes we like to loosen up before a podcast.
Justine had a long day.
So can I tell you a bit about my Hammerwatch history?
I do want to say really quick, this is one of the very rare occasions when Brandon and I have exactly as much experience.
Yeah. Yeah, because we discovered this game together. We've played it primarily together.
Basically, only together, yeah.
Like, you have more time on Steam on it because you like to leave it open for 24 hours at a time. But otherwise, our playtime's the same, yeah.
Oh, that's another thing. Hey, y'all, if you want to, like, close this game out when you're in the middle of a dungeon and you bring the game back up later, you're in that dungeon.
Oh, yeah, you can...
It doesn't kick you out of the dungeon. You can just keep going, and that's rad.
Now, this is presumably if you do single player.
Probably not.
If you were to join somebody else's lobby, you're probably going to be brought back to the
start. And you'll lose all your stuff.
Yeah. So, Hammerwatch, I want to talk about this game.
So do I. That's why we're doing a podcast about it.
I want to talk about the first one real quick.
Okay, yeah, I never played that
one. The first game, just called Hammerwatch, I had gotten it as part of a Humble Bundle, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Which, hey guys, we're partnered with Humble Bundle. Go follow our affiliate link.
And you can get this game on Humble Bundle because that's where we got it.
Yes, we will provide a link, a referral link. We'll talk about that later. So, I got this as part of a Humble Bundle, and I figured I'd check
it
out.
It's like $10.
Came with a soundtrack, which is a good soundtrack. Yeah. And I played it, and I'm like, oh, this is really fun. And it was more or less the same thing. Here's your classes, go down into a dungeon, go as far, same stuff.
Super simple, super easy to get.
I loved it. I had no friends that would play. So I would play online with strangers. And then, like, 2 years after I stopped playing this game, I noticed my friends are playing Hammerwatch.
Oh, your friends
and I'm like, guys, why did you not tell me? I love this game. I've played so much. And then it kind of faded back out. And then one day I walk into my home and I see my roommate playing what looks a lot like Hammerwatch. I'm like, are you playing Hammerwatch? And he's like, no, man, I'm playing Heroes of Hammerwatch.
The new one.
I'm like, what? I didn't know about this one. He's like, oh, yeah, it came out like a week ago. And I checked out, you have the sequel, and it's basically like a new and improved version of the first game.
It's good.
And I was like, oh, I'm excited. I can actually get in on the same time as my friends are playing this freaking game.
And we did, because...
We played with others, yeah.
Jeez Louise, for as much as we've played this game up to that point, our two friends that we decided to play with one night were, like, on crack.
I don't think either of them... They're, like, min-maxing, and I'm sitting here level 10 still. Like, hey, guys, I've got healing.
Which is... I am going to get into the classes breakdown.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I will talk a big game about Paladin after our ad break.
The only one I'm not familiar with is Wizard, because
we haven't gotten
to that yet.
Did you?
We've picked up the Wizard.
You have.
Just haven't
played. I don't know if I have yet. I'll have to check.
We haven't played since then, huh?
We haven't played in a bit, yeah. We played a lot, but we haven't played recently.
Well, we've had other games and stuff.
Yeah, oh,
Steam sale going on. Y'all hear about that?
So, okay. I lost my train of thought. So why don't you talk about the classes?
Okay. So we'll talk about that real quick, and then we'll cut to ad break.
That sounds good.
Okay. So when you start out, I think you have four classes.
Paladin...
Warlock, sorcerer,
and
God, there's another
ranger.
One. Ranger,
yeah.
So okay, I've not played ranger, but our Brandon's roommate did, and he was really killer ranger on it. So something I will say is the ranged attack people are where my bag is, because you get to stand back away from the enemies and pick them off. Ranger's really good for that. And the other thing a ranger can do is drop bombs.
Oh, yeah.
So that's your area of effect.
So if you get swarmed, you can drop a bomb and skedaddle.
And back out and then just pick off people on the edges.
And they have problems with... Of course, it's very well balanced. I love this about this game. If you're a ranger, you're going to do real good against, say, standard infantrymen, you know, the guys with a sword. Because you can just kite them, walk backwards, shoot at them. You'll have more trouble with the heavily armored guys and the other ranged creatures.
Who just keep coming at... Oh, the ranged creatures. Oh, yes.
Whereas then there's me with the paladin who's like, ah, you have a bow and arrow?
Which is... So the paladin comes in. The paladin has a shield.
So he
can block. They can block.
Front attacks projectiles.
Yes. And so, if you upgrade, you can block more.
Oh, yeah. You can upgrade your shield so you can block a higher arc. So it's like it starts as like, I think, a 90 degree arc in front of you. And you can widen it up as, I think, as much as like 210 degrees.
So Brandon plays mains paladin.
I main a paladin.
And he does it really good. I tried paladin and hated it, but Brandon's really good at it. It's a tank.
It's a tanky class. It has high armor, has a lot of health, and it has mild healing abilities. It is made for you to get in the middle of things and just not die.
He says mild, but it's really killer. So
yeah, compared to like wizards or not
well,
wizards,
listen,
priests.
I'm getting there. So the paladin has when they do their healing ability, once you basically purchase it when you level up, they have a circle around them, which other members of their team can get into that circle and get healed as well as the paladin themselves.
Oh, yeah. They're the only class that can heal themselves as well as their team. Now, it's not the best. Like, if you've not specially, like, specced yourself to have high mana and, like, this power, you will probably heal, like, a third of everyone's health before you run out of mana. And because you're not magic-based, your mana doesn't regenerate as fast as, like, a warlock would.
But... that being said, you may heal a third of yourself because you're a tank and you have a lot of hit points, but a squishy person like a warlock, you can heal them
full
on.
That is true. That is true.
They have much fewer hit points than you do.
And when you take into account, let's say you had three others also being healed, that's a lot of healing you do.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, a priest can only heal one person at a time.
So as far as starting classes, when you're just starting out with
if you're, like, new to the game and you want to try it the first time.
Ranger is very good for you because you just start with some good stuff.
It lets you have your safety distance.
The bow and the bomb when you get in trouble. Now, this is another thing I do like about Hammerwatch is everyone has mana for something. So the paladin has it for your rush attack and your...
The healing, there's a rush, and I got a spin to win
Yeah.
move.
So you've got some power attacks that take mana, plus the healing. The ranger, the bombs take mana. Now, the magic classes are more self-explanatory. I started with a warlock, but I'm going to warn y'all, the warlock doesn't get super good till like level 5 or later. And the issue I was having is I always wanted to use the magic attack that took mana, which is lightning attack, because that would do a lot of damage to a lot of different enemies at once.
Uh-huh.
And I was very soft and squishy, so I get hurt easily. But the main attack I had that didn't take any kind of magic or whatever was just a poison dagger, which was a fast attack, but I had to get up on things. And I was not in a position to be a melee fighter. The only reason a warlock would be is because at a certain level, you gain health and mana upon killing things.
Yeah, the warlock is even described as a character that trades like health or mana for health. The warlock is one of those characters that you stay alive by dealing damage.
Yeah.
And that's a common trope in games. The problem is that's not a good character to start with.
It's not.
Once you're familiar with the game and you want to try a more complicated class.
I did get good at it. I got at least level 9 with the warlock, and it was fine. But the most fun I had, dear listeners, is with the sorcerer. And I have not left my precious sorcerer since I started because your roommate told me, hey, you might like the sorcerer. And I started playing and I was like, I'm never leaving.
Oh, and you're good with it too. You deal some good hurt.
Here's the fun thing about the sorcerer. Like the ranger, you're ranged attack based. You're not like the warlock whose only ranged attack takes mana.
Uh-huh.
And they stab everyone else. I didn't like the poison dagger. I rarely ever used it, which was a problem.
It forced you to get close and like, yeah, I get you.
The main attack for the sorcerer is ranged ice shards. And the best thing about these shards, the best thing that I think blows every other class out of the water is the fact that these shards ricochet.
Oh yeah, they don't even do normal ricochet. They're
like freaking heat-seeking shards.
You get this. Explain that perk. Yeah.
So this is not just a perk. Like, you don't buy this. You start out. You can ricochet off of at least 2 enemies, and you can shoot around blind corners because of it.
It bounces off walls.
I can stand around a corner of a hallway that leads into a big chamber full of things and just shoot at the wall, and my ice shards will just bounce off and shoot a bunch of enemies. They'll keep coming up through this bottleneck of a corridor, and I will be nowhere in the realm of the ranged attacks because I'm around the corner shooting at them. And their magic, like the mana attacks, are very good also, because they do a lot of damage and they freeze things in place. So the one you start out with is the comet that you can drop on people from a short distance away.
Oh yeah.
And it will hit a bunch of enemies if you get them clustered, and it will freeze them. But my favorite is the orb.
The ice ball.
You can only get this when you're at later levels.
It's the last ability you unlock.
Yes. But what you do is you send this orb out in front of you, and it will just keep moving forward very slowly for 3 seconds or more, depending on if you've leveled it up, and it will just spray ice shards out from it. And those ice shards ricochet also.
Oh, yeah. So, if you've played Overwatch, imagine... Oh, God, I forgot his name.
It's my ultimate.
the dark, dramatic... boy.
Reaper.
It's basically Reaper's ult if you could just throw it out.
It's really good, you guys.
It is very good.
So that's why I'm able to go really, really far by myself with the sorcerer, because if I just shoot once, I can kill 5 different enemies at a time.
Oh, and it's fantastic.
It's just so good, and I love, and it's so satisfying. It's almost like playing Candy Crush when you get like a bunch of the same color and they all disappear. That's exactly the same feeling when you fire and they all, like every time it ricochets, it hits something and kills it. So those are your starting classes.
You know what else is very satisfying?
What?
Our ad break.
No, there's 2 more classes.
We'll get to it.
Okay, fine.
There's strong, then there's paladin strong. It's not just the strength to heal, but the strength to tank. Not just strength and armor, but strength in teamwork. Not just the strength to kite, but the strength to lead. Not just the strength to heal others, but the strength to heal yourself. It's more than armor stats. It's resistance to magic. There's nothing in Hammerwatch stronger than the Paladin class, because there's nothing in Hammerwatch stronger than a min-maxed Paladin. They're strong, then there's Paladin strong. Find out more at thelizardrock.com/gopaladin. I like this look you're giving me.
It was cute. That's gonna need music. Fun.
Yes, it will. I'm gonna get some dramatic trumpets.
So
the other classes.
Okay, so there's three more classes that you can unlock after you've played the game.
They don't give you all of them at first, which threw me off.
Very fun, though, because it's like, oh, I want to play the thief. I guess I'm gonna have to play this game.
Yeah, oh.
You find out there's so more. They're so good at making you want to play. So one of these ways is you unlock these other classes, not just by leveling up or like, oh, you've reached this many levels, now you've unlocked. No, you find these people in the mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Also, a comment about the mountain. You're not going down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because
you go in bug-infested chambers and stuff, and you keep going up to prisons.
Because that's such a classic video game thing, is you're going in a dungeon, and if it's going to be seemingly infinite, you just go down deeper and deeper. That's video game standard. But in this one, you don't. You're going up.
You're going up.
And it took us days after we got the game before we realized, hey, wait a second. We're going up.
Yeah. So you start out with, like, caves, and you keep the further up you go, the more
modern, more bourgeoisie.
More established it is. So you do caves, and then you do, like, prisons, where you have to open up all the gates.
Yeah, become this stone prison
world. And then the next set of levels is, like, I don't even know what to call it, because there's statues everywhere.
I think it's called Castle.
Okay, yeah.
And yeah, it looks like the inside of a furnished castle.
Yeah, so this mountain's crazy, y'all. Anyway, so the first one that you ostensibly unlock is the thief.
Mm-hmm.
You find them, I think, in that dungeon area where the cells are.
They are, yeah, they're locked behind
they're
one
locked
of the
in, which
cells.
Is funny for the thief. They should be able to pick that lock. But
I'd believe that they're the soonest to get themselves in a bad situation.
Sure. So the thief is your rogue. And you have throwing knives.
Mm-hmm.
And
There's a smoke bomb that stuns people.
Smoke bomb.
The thief is a high DPS class. It doesn't have the best armor, but it can deal a lot of damage, and it does have some mild blocking abilities. This is the guy that you send in to do a lot of damage quickly, but he's still kind of soft about it.
Has to back out
close
and let
range
the tanks
quick.
Come in later. Well, I did watch our friend Sam playing the thief.
He's a good thief.
He's extremely good. I did not realize that a thief could be played that well, because I thought of the thief as pretty soft and had to stay back and be ranged, but he would literally dive into these rooms full of people and take them all out.
Yeah, that's
one, because he was
be
a
close.
High level, and two, because he knew how to utilize that damage and back off when he needed to.
The one perk that he used that I didn't is one of your abilities is a grappling hook that'll fling you forward. And when you if you hit somebody with a grappling hook and you fling into them, you stun them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot. I think the thief has a natural higher chance to stun somebody upon striking. So that's their gimmick, is that they can't take hits, but they can kind of deal damage and kind of stop the monsters from hurting you.
And their blocking ability comes from smacking stuff out of the air.
You can stop a projectile by swinging your daggers at it.
Yeah.
So on the paladin, you can just stand there and do nothing and you'll block. But this one, you have to actively swing.
Which is why I feel like the paladin and the sorcerer make the best team. Not just because I love us as a couple, but because, you can just stand in front of me while a bunch of ranged, of skeleton archers are shooting at me. And then I will take them all out from behind you.
It is the classic tank mage combo.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Except this time, I'm the one who heals.
Yeah, and it's fun.
I am the one who heals.
And it's also fun because I rarely need that healing because I stay so far back.
Yeah.
So it works out really
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. I need my healing more than you do most times.
Yeah, so after the thief, you get... Also, when you get the thief, you open up the bar.
I'm sorry. No, the priest is the first one.
You're
Technically,
correct.
The priest isn't one you find. You just get the priest as an option.
No, you do find him.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you do.
You have to build the chapel. That's it.
No, then you have to go find the priest.
You found the priest?
Yes.
I never found a priest. I just bought the chapel.
I'm sure you did at some point. But no, he's not just there because you bought the chapel. Because you go into the chapel and he says, oh, we're waiting for the priest to come back. I'm pretty sure that's how that works.
I'll have to double check on this.
Because I got stopped.
I'll have to check. I don't remember. But the priest was the first one I got.
Yeah, so there's the priest, who is your healing class.
He is fully ranged. Even his primary attack attacks a step in front of him. Mm-hmm. So if something's directly in front of him, he has to back up in order to hit it.
Yes.
He is the softest, boys.
The softest. He's got like 10 hit points when you start out.
Fortunately, he does have a very high natural health regeneration.
Yeah, and his healing is ranged. So unlike the paladin where you have to get all up on him and stand in the circle, the priest's range attack is the exact same thing as his healing.
And you can move.
So if he's point, it's a laser, you guys.
It's a literal
it's a huge laser.
Kamehameha beam.
And so if he fires this laser at an enemy, it does damage.
Mm-hmm.
If it's fired at a friend, it heals.
Yeah.
And it is wild.
It is a good heal.
It's good. So I would say that of all the classes, the priest is probably my least favorite because you really don't do much attacking with them. You just support.
Yeah, I agree. He is the beam makes him a very competent fighter in his own right. But in terms of survivability, that's a tough one.
I'm not sure if you could solo a priest.
I've tried. It's not easy.
Not easy.
It is not.
Now, the final class, which I may have just unlocked, maybe Brandon did.
I don't remember if I did.
He was with me in my game doing this. The wizard is the one I'm least familiar with because I've only seen our friend play it once. And mm-hmm. I've never played the wizard. But it's another mage class. And as far as I know, you can do a lot of range damage. But again, I'm very unfamiliar with it. And it's not a starting class anyway, so you really have to work your way
it
up
is,
to that one.
You find him in the game on the third section of floors, mm-hmm. which is the most difficult section.
So far, there's
so
still more.
He's made to be the last person you find.
Yes.
And from what I've seen, if I'm understanding correct, he's a closer ranged magic guy.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like the warlock, but a little bit more on the ranged end.
He has a flamethrower, which covers a large area within a close. Yeah, because the sorcerer is ice based.
Yes.
And the wizard is fire based.
Warlock is electricity based.
Yeah, yeah, they're all elementally based.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing about the warlock. If you upgrade to the highest attack, you basically get a storm cloud that just moves in and electrocutes everything.
There's some good nukes going on with
the wizard is fire.
The wizard's fire, yeah.
Yes.
And I haven't gotten a real in-depth look at his abilities, but he seems to be, he'll deal really good damage within a limited range.
Okay.
But it is, in fact, range.
Yes.
That's all I know about him.
This is why I stick with the sorcerer, because, again, around corners.
You've figured the sorcerer out really well.
I'm very good at the sorcerer. So, now let's talk about the town itself.
Yeah, so in the original Hammerwatch, the normal game mode is just straight up. Imagine you just started in the dungeon.
Oh, okay.
That's it. You didn't actually, you upgraded your character, I believe, as you got deeper. I can't quite recall, my memory's faded. But there wasn't a town. However, they later added a new campaign that did have a town. This one was like an Egyptian-style, Al-Majik-style base. And
cool.
Problem is, that one's really hard to do solo, so I didn't, and of course none of my friends played, so
yeah,
I didn't get very far
so
into that one. But they took the concept, they had realized it in the first game, and they really nailed it this time around with Heroes of Hammerwatch.
Absolutely. So what you do is you show up in this town that's basically I think all you have at that point is Town Hall, the guy who levels you up, and a merchant, yeah, and I think the potion lady.
You don't even... Do you have the... I think you actually have to buy the shop, don't you?
No.
No, you have the shop?
You have it. It's just got okay. not... It's just got very common
things. Yeah, you have the guild, which is where you get new perks for your class. You have the guild... Or no, you have the town hall, which you use ore to upgrade your town. Mm-hmm. Or you find as you play. You have the blacksmith, which adds standard...
Defense and attack.
Yeah, higher defense, higher attack, higher speed.
Or higher armor.
Higher crit. And then you have the shop, which will... When you play throughout this game, like, every life you'll find random items that give bonus stats. Like, this one will give you additional gold gain, or this one will heal you better.
That's something I'm gonna just, like, make the statement right now. Stuff you get in the dungeons is specific only to that instance in the dungeon. You that don't life. Keep it. Yeah, so once you die in the dungeon, you come back to the town, you don't have that stuff anymore. So the shop is for buying things to take into that instance of the dungeon. But you, again, are not going to have it next time you go in there. That stuff is temporary.
Yeah, so you pay a bit of your gold for a one-time, you know, boost for perhaps you want this run, you want to get really far.
So if you're going to buy something, you want that run to last so you get your money's worth. Now, the things that I really only ever buy from the shop are keys.
I normally buy things that improve health regen. Because mm-hmm. as a paladin, if I have a good health regen, combined with my already existing armor and my massive health pool, I'm hard to kill.
Yes.
So if I go in there and see like a life stone or something, like, okay, yeah, I'll pay some gold for that. That'll pay right. off itself easy.
But again, it's temporary and also... is randomized. So you're not going to see the same stuff every time you go to the merchant, and you just yeah. kind of have to grab the things that are good when they're there.
Yeah, so it's always good to just check it before you leave, you know?
The other person you have is a potion seller, who...
I believe that's, like, the first person you find? You do have to find them. I remember this.
Oh, okay.
Because you had found them, I believe, before I did.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, you have to find them. They're, like, in the first area. You find them really easy.
The first time we played was with your roommate who had a flesh.
Who had
some town.
Stuff already.
So there's some stuff that my memory is kind of bad. But the potion seller is very, very, very useful because when you start out, you have one potion that is it's a healing potion.
Yeah, you use it. Yeah, I think it's like Q or something.
Yeah.
No,
it's E.
E, right. Because that's like the use button and everything else. You use the potion... And it'll heal a set amount of health and mana.
So you start out and you have one. You go to the potion seller and you can do one of like three things. You can upgrade how much mana it gives you when you take the potion, how much health it gives you when you take the potion, and you can upgrade to get a second potion slot.
Well, and if you upgrade the potion person through the town hall, they'll also provide new upgrades like... Now food items found in the dungeon will heal more.
Right.
And that's another perk of theirs.
And this is the point of the town hall, is everything that's in the town and everything you gather for the town can be upgraded through town hall. So the potion seller lady, you will then be able to get more potions. I think I'm up to like five.
Yeah, you can lie. I think I'm at three, four maybe.
I think I'm at four. And then, but again, you have to upgrade it. So once you get like, four potions, you have to upgrade her again, or she's just out of stuff and has nothing to give you. Same for the blacksmith, same for the merchant. Well, the merchant will always have stuff to give you, but you can upgrade so that they have rarer
things.
Items.
I think they're better prices, too. I'll have to check on that.
The one most useless thing, in my opinion, is the ore seller.
Yeah.
The way you upgrade your town is you collect ore in the dungeons.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an ore... Seller?
A peddler. You can buy ore for gold, or you can sell your ore for more gold.
Which is like you can upgrade him so that the prices are a lot better and evens out better, but when you start out, you sell ore for a terrible price, and you buy ore for a terrible price.
And like, if...
So
I haven't
only
touched
if you
that.
Have gold to spare.
I think I've sold ore, like one piece of ore once, because I was dangerously close to getting the thing I needed, you know?
I've never used the ore salesman.
Like, it is... I understand why it's there, and perhaps for, like, a late game, it's nice because then, you've used everything ore-wise you ever would need. Which that's not even true, because the anvil, which...
Yes. Yeah,
you can later get an anvil that's over by the blacksmith that lets you basically craft an item thing, right? Like, yeah. Like the shop sells items, or you can make them.
That one.
And it's nice because you have recipes for these items, so it's not randomized like the shop. They're always there. So if you always want to have this item and you have the anvil recipe,
okay.
You can spend ore to just to get it.
Which, again, is good for late game.
It's, yeah, real good for late game.
The only time I can think of justifying buying any ore from him is if I'm, like, one ore away from upgrading something that I need.
Yeah.
And buying that ore and then going back and upgrading it.
Otherwise, there's very little reason to invest your ore in upgrading the ore merchant.
So,
I agree.
Things that you get along the way is you get the chapel where the priest lives, and that will give
I love that one.
Depending on the class, so if you're magic-based, tank-based...
It's not class-dependent. No, it's...
No, it's not, but, like, some paths are better for your class.
Yeah, I agree. And that's a struggle because you gotta choose, you know, which one will suit my needs, and, like, will this hinder me later?
One is good for magic, one is good for defense, and I think one is good for attack or something like that.
I think that's it, yeah.
So, I'm the sorcerer, I went the path of magic, and you get quote-unquote blessings, which are permanent
perks. Permanent, I believe, 20% boost. And it is a branching tree, and you can't get everything. So, she chose magic, I think I chose armor.
Yeah.
And now I can get, like, magic resistance or something else, I can't get the attack boost because I made my choice.
Yes.
And, like, while you always have a choice between something or another, you are stuck with a choice.
With your tree.
I think for the right price, i.e. a lot of gold, you can reset it.
Which is like you're at the guild hall when you level up. You also have the option to, for a set amount of gold... you can respec your character
right.
If you don't like...
Right, because when you level up, you don't just get new abilities. You are given, like, stars.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to the guild hall, and you go look at this sheet of available powers you can unlock at the cost of stars.
Right.
So I've put a lot of points towards that. Yeah, that healing power the paladin has. But I've put virtually none in the spinning power, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you have to be a certain level before you can even try certain abilities.
Yes.
But yeah, you can respec that for more gold than it's worth, if you ask me.
And the guild hall, which was kind of weird to me, but it's another thing you have to upgrade with ore in the town hall.
Yes.
Where you, if you're, you know, leveling up and stuff, you can only go to, like, tier 2 until you upgrade the guild hall.
And I like this because it prevents new players from immediately going for, like, late game
yes.
perks.
This is, so, real quick, the other couple of things, you get the wizard has, like, has a place, but I haven't
explored it yet. He has a wizard shop, but we don't know what it does.
Don't know what it does yet. Then there's the thief, where you open up the bar, and you can get some pretty sweet potions.
Right. The bar is kind of like the shop in that you pay for this one-time consumable. Except it's not an item, it's an effect with both a positive and a negative effect.
My favorite is Miner's Delight, where you receive less gold when you do gold pickups, but you get twice as much ore.
My favorite is, Patience or something like that, and it's you have 20% less movement speed, so you walk slower, but you get 20% more experience gain. No, that's not my favorite. I'm sorry. Lady's Blessing.
Okay.
It is +2 health regeneration, which means you get 2 health a second. My lisp got real bad there for a moment. You get 2 health a second, which is really good in
yes.
this game. And I think it's negative experience gain. So I would drink that, then I would drink the experience one, so that I'm slow, I heal more, and I'm not out any experience. I love it.
The one that's my favorite to see other people take...
Oh, God.
...is the one where you get... It's
the Fool's Errand,
where you get more gold, but if you stop moving, you take damage.
Yeah, it drops your health regen to -5 when you're not moving, which means... If you stop moving, you just gradually lose health.
So,
I would take that with the Lady's Blessing as well, so that when I stopped moving, it would only be like -3.
So I've seen Brandon and our friend Sam take this, and it is so funny because I'm always the person forgetting something all the way across the map, and so they're standing at the exit door, pacing.
Yeah, just back running and forth in circles because of the
trying not to die.
I'll sit there and I'll just activate my healing field so that I can stop moving for a bit.
The last bit of the town that we should talk about is the fountain.
Oh yeah,
can also be upgraded. And listen, guys, this episode is just our Hammer Watch hacks.
They reworked the fountain while we were playing.
Yeah, it used to be you just throw
some
money in and a random something would happen.
Something happens and people didn't understand, ourselves included. Like, this, I don't get it.
But they upgraded it so that when you go to the fountain, you have positive effects and negative effects and you can choose them, but they each have like an amount. So one might be a positive effect might cost you +2, a negative effect might be -2. If you get both of those, it cancels out, it costs you nothing to do it, and you have a positive and a negative effect.
Yeah. So, for example, a negative effect is there's more enemies per floor, and a positive effect is
bigger floors.
Is that a positive?
Yes, because you get more stuff.
Oh, right. So you can do that, and then, oh, bigger floors, but also more creatures. That's cool.
Our favorite thing to do, however,
oh, God,
the largest cost negative effect is no dungeon shops.
I don't understand why.
The merchant that you have in your town, there are also shops within the dungeon where you can buy pieces of equipment. And the only use I've seen for it is some pieces of equipment come as a set.
Oh, yeah. There's so like set bonuses.
If you get all of the things in the set, you get bonuses to your attack, to your health regen, to whatever it'll tell you.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a couple of those items and the merchant happens to be selling one, that's useful. Otherwise, you collect items already. I don't see a use for the merchant. However, that's a negative 14.
Is it 14 or 15?
It's 14.
14!
Which is the highest you can go as far as the negatives.
For a frame of reference, there's another negative effect that's called, like, insta-death.
Yeah.
Where you permanently have one health. And that one is negative 12.
Yeah.
12!
So, now here's the thing, is if you only have negatives, then it compensates by giving you more ore gain and more experience gain.
Money and experience, I believe. Not ore.
I think it's ore. But it might be money. Anyway, so
whereas, if you have more good than bad, you have to pay an amount of gold
to pay money.
Make it happen.
So what we like to do is go for the no merchants and then just pick some stuff to do for positive and then leave a percentage amount to get more gold and more experience. And it's great.
Oh, yeah. We'll have hallway traps are disabled. Things are unlocked. Potions do quadruple mega effect. And then we'll still get like a +15% golden experience gain.
I think next time we should do no merchants and more enemies and then like expanded floors and then
just put in every negative that we can tolerate. That's what our friends were doing. The 2 years
I'm
on, they were basically turning on every negative they could tolerate
just
so
to
that
get
they
the
could
experience.
Maximize how much gold they got.
Now, so this is all the stuff that's in the town, and it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing about this game that makes it encourages gameplay, like, in everything that it does. So, again, the only way you can upgrade this town is by going into the mines, but you have 3 unlockable classes, so if you want to unlock them, you have to play this game and go through the dungeons and actually do some stuff and get further.
Uh-huh.
The other thing is, the amount of money you have can negatively affect you. They want you to spend this money on stuff, upgrading yourself, your equipment, your potions, buying stuff from the merchant. They want you to do that because sometimes in these levels, you will find a drop-off point where you can send all your stuff up to the surface or down to the village or whatever.
Down, yeah.
So your money and your ore is basically what it is. If you die, that stuff goes away. But if you send it back to the village before you die, then you have it when you come back.
That's what made us realize we were going up, not down, because we were sending our money down. And we're like, why down?
Now, here's the thing. If you total, not just what you've collected in the dungeon, but all that plus what you have out in the town, like what you just have.
Yeah.
All of that added together, there's a tax applied to sending it back down. The more money you have, the higher that tax is. I've hit like 60-some percent tax because I just don't buy things.
Yeah.
So they want you to buy stuff, otherwise you lose a lot of the money that you're collecting. So this game really encourages you to, like, upgrade,
spend your money.
Don't hoard stuff because it's not going to help you. They want you to not play it safe and just stay where in the levels that you know. You have to keep going or you won't ever get that wizard. Or you won't get the kegs that have the potions you want.
Right, right, because the potions in the tavern, you find more of them as kegs in the game.
Yes, and so, like, if you buy them from the tavern, there's a finite amount of them. You have to collect more in the dungeons. And the last thing is, in order to progress yourself quickly, you can skip the easy levels. They have a method for you to do that.
Yeah, every 3 floors, you battle a boss, and you go to the next zone. Once you've done that, they give you an option that's basically, let me put you in this 5-minute gauntlet of enemies, and if you survive, we'll just teleport you past that section's boss.
Now, if you're looking to get ore, they're not going to help you there. You don't get ore for doing that. But if you go through this portal, you will still collect items.
You still get the items. You still get the combat. It's very instantaneous without having to dredge through the weak zone.
I think every 2 waves of enemies, you get items. Mm-hmm. Just like if you wanted to go through trap rooms and unlock chests or what have you. You will still get those items, and so you can still progress a little bit better. Because they do help you a lot.
That way, they acknowledge that, hey, you want these items. They help make you stronger. We don't want you to not use this shortcut we've given you because of this reason.
It's very intuitive to, like, how you play this game and how to encourage you to either take the shortcuts or, like, do the stuff that they're telling you to do.
Absolutely.
So I don't do the portal too often because I like getting the ore and upgrading stuff. But I have friends who they just want to get through the next set of levels. So they'll take the portal and pop out on the next level, go find the portal on that level, take the portal up to the next set of levels. Yeah. And so you can skip the entire mine level, you can skip the entire cell level, and just make yourself level up.
I love it, because the fact that it's just wave of enemies, wave of enemies, wave of enemies, it's intentionally more fast-paced and more hectic, because if you're skipping these levels, it's because you're probably because you think they're boring.
Yeah.
You don't want to have to dredge through them.
Mm-hmm.
So this not only gives you a shortcut, but gives you that additional stimulation that you desire.
And this is one of those Justine moments of, oh, it's so hard. Because, yeah, those portals are hard.
They are.
But I can get through them.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that I can if I have the focus to do it. I mean, this Hammerwatch does fall into the category of games where, especially if we're doing multiplayer, I can get overwhelmed sometimes with the amount of things on the screen. It's what's caused me to, basically fail the rest of the team on more than one occasion where I'll die because I'm not watching myself. There's too many other things to look at, and I don't realize that I'm in danger.
I think that's a problem with just ranged classes in general, is it's easy to focus on the enemies and not yourself when you're not near your enemy.
Right. I think it was more a problem with the Warlock because I ended up being in the thick of it, and then I would run out of mana.
Yeah.
But I'm more careful with the Sorcerer, but it's just a thing with me and the amount of stuff that's on the screen. But that's pretty much the only issue I've ever had with Hammerwatch. The rest of the time, so easy, so self-explanatory, no tutorials. You just...
Correct.
Around the blacksmith, there's dummies, and you can just practice your damage stuff on there.
Yeah, so you can see how much damage you now deal.
You can practice your own stuff on your own time.
Hammerwatch is an incredibly well-designed game.
It's really good, you guys. And it's like $10 if you go on the Humble Bundle.
This is me, like, this is game journalist Brandon saying, this is a very well-made game. I can see how they've learned from their time as developers and how they've really refined what makes a good video game. It is very well done, and I absolutely recommend it.
It's very good.
You can, in fact, get it on the Humble Store. That's right, I've shifted over to advertisement, Brandon. So yeah, you can get on the Humble Store.
We'll post a link.
We will have a referral link. Follow it. If you get the game using our referral link, we get a portion of that.
And then a portion goes to charity.
So, Humble Bundle. Yeah, I think I have us set for a certain charity, but you can set your own charities too.
Mm-hmm.
Humble Bundle likes to send me emails about this a lot. And they used to be like, hey, it's been like 14 days since somebody's bought something using your link. And it's reached the point now to where they don't even say a number. They're just like, hey, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Here's some advice. And like, I get it. We don't get a lot.
Get stuff from the Humble
Reset
store.
That counter. Have them
Which
start
is fun, because, yeah,
again.
It goes to charity. It goes to us. And it's cheaper.
It is. Yeah, they're oftentimes cheaper than... And they give you Steam codes, too. So, like, it's the same
you
as getting
get
it on
Steam. Yes.
A lot of them have DRM-free versions, too. Sometimes soundtrack. It's the Humble Store's a really good store.
It's very good. A lot of the times when I, like, aside from Steam sale, because I know it's going to be dirt cheap, I will usually look at the Humble Store because, again, good cause and cheaper.
Yeah, I think this game is $12 on Steam, but we both got it for, I believe, $10.
I got it for
$10. So, yeah, do that. Follow our link. We will have it in the show notes. You can also find it on the website under the podcast page. If you're interested in this game, it's time for some housekeeping. It's been a long episode this time around.
It's a good
game.
This
is one of our longest episodes, I think, actually.
I think it's because the game is so straightforward.
It is. There's a lot to talk about, and we both thoroughly enjoyed it. So, if you like this... Okay. Sorry. Cutting this. Cut. Pause. So, I've been looking at our stats recently, and I've actually been seeing our listenership increase in, like, the last few weeks. Noticeably increased. Like I'm checking in just today, Wednesday. It's been 5 days since our last episode went out. We had 6 people listen today. That may sound modest, but like that's really good for us. I'm seeing these numbers develop really well, and I'm just very happy and excited, and I feel so wholesome. I'm very thankful for our listeners, is what I'm trying to say. I'm very thankful.
Oh, wait, is this live?
People.
You don't want to cut this?
No, don't cut this.
Oh, you said pause because I thought you wanted to cut
pause it. Pause the housekeeping.
Okay.
This is staying in.
Yeah, thank you guys for listening. Like, we to talk to you.
You're giving me some very wholesome vibes. I will say, though, check out our Twitter. I post crap, just random crap
it's
there.
It's fun crap.
I post there often, and it is a good way of communicating with us if you need to.
Also, I'm putting this out on the actual podcast. If someone can tell us why Jade Empire is popping off like it has been.
Jade Empire, okay. We used to have, like, it was a tie between Dark Souls and To the Moon on our most popular. Now that we've been getting newer viewers, our first episode, Stardew Valley, has actually popped up to second. But for whatever reason... First place goes to Jade Empire by a long shot.
Which is wild, because I do not hear people talk about Jade Empire ever.
I don't know why Jade Empire is doing so much better than
if
the rest.
If someone has an answer, if, like, y'all actually secretly stan Jade Empire like nobody's business and just no one talks about it.
Yeah,
like,
is there some kind of secret Jade Empire? Anyway, so, yeah, talk to us on Twitter. At Cozy Co-op Podcast. It is a real good way of communicating with us. You can also email us at... CozyCoop@thelizardrock.com. I believe a nice business casual email. I check that frequently as well.
Let us know if you want us to talk about a certain game or if you have thoughts on the upcoming game that we're going to talk about.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Tell us games you want us to talk about.
Give us thoughts.
Shadow of Mordor was a suggested game, for example.
It was, and we did it. So
they suggested it. We played it. And then we liked it so much we wanted to talk about it. Sounds cool. Follow us
Of course I was going to talk about it. It's Lord of the Rings.
Follow us on Facebook as well, same name. Leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Somebody left a review on iTunes recently that might be the like most articulate, well-formed review I've ever
read. I
read
it and I was going to cry.
That's a really
so
good
nice.
Review. I was impressed. Yeah, we've been getting more people watching, and that is because...
Listening?
Watching with their ears. I think it actually, this review might have helped that. Because when you give us a review, preferably a good one, it rises up on the iTunes algorithms. And that means it shows up more often on like people's recommended podcasts.
Right.
Or on like the top video game podcast. More people see us when we have more good reviews. That's why people ask for, hey, give us a review. Because it helps us be seen. So... Do that.
Do the thing.
I know iTunes is a very popular format for us. I know our stats. It's like 50%.
Just...
Right, I'm getting distracted. TheLizardRock.com is where we get our news from. I post news there, video game news, matter of fact, Monday through Friday, normally in the mornings, 5 days a week. That's where we get our news from. If you want to catch up on the latest video game news, check it out. I try to keep it in a very friendly and clean, easy to read. It's hard to imagine that I write for a living. With how poorly I...
Can I talk about what the next game
is? Yes, what game are we talking about?
Next game is going to be Curse of Monkey Island, y'all.
Finally.
Almost beats Beyond Good and Evil for my favorite game, so it's going to be a good episode, y'all.
She will talk a lot. I'm going to get a coffee, probably.
Yeah. So, is that it?
Yes, that is it.
Okay, thank you for listening, and that's it for us today. Cozy up with us next week on The Cozy Co-op.
Outro music! So dumb.
It's so dumb.